D&D Encounter Season 6, Lost Crown of Neverwinter, and this is the Week 3 adventure. And this is the beginning of Chapter 2. So the last two encounters made up Chapter 1. It was a short chapter, but it was a little bit tougher, knowing that it was obviously only going to be two encounters. For the remainder of the adventure, it's four encounters per chapter. So keep that in mind as you're playing it through. Keep that in mind for resource management, how many surges are you using per fight, when you want to use daily powers, things of that nature. Obviously, you're now back to full health, 100%, all your encounter powers back. Everyone's got one action point. So after you complete the first two encounters, you're going to get another action point. So through the course of the four encounters, you're going to have a total of two action points to use. So use them right away. Hold on to them. It's up to you. We'll go from there. So this encounter begins 10 days after the events that were played out in Chapter 1. So let's see. What do we say here? Okay, so in the 10 days that have passed, this is some of the information that you've learned, either through direct conversations or that you've overheard or that you've managed to pick up through rumor. It's not overly important how you learned this, but this is sort of what you've heard. So rumors about the lost heir have been circulating, and tension in the city has risen sharply over the last week. There have been more attacks by the plague change creatures taking place inside the supposedly warded Protector's Enclave, and every time the lost heir is there fighting against the plague change creatures, whether intentionally or not. The Lost Heir is building support in the city. The Sons of Alan Gondar, a group of rebels who oppose Lord Nevermember and his tyrannical ambitions, seem to have thrown its support behind this Lost Heir. Businesses are under pressure to choose a side, Nevermember or the Lost Heir. Those who maintain loyalty to the Lord Protector have been targeted by vandalism, harassment, and destruction of property. So, with that information now in hand, you guys need to make an informed decision about the badges you received at the end of the last encounter. If you wear them openly, that's going to be a strong declaration for where your loyalties lie. If you don't wear them, then obviously it's not as obvious which side you're going to fall on, or if you've even chosen sides. But I do have, for every encounter moving forward, an indication of how certain NPCs will react to you positively or negatively if a badge is shown or a badge is not shown, or if you declare loyalty to one side or the other. And again, the party has to sort of live by the sword, die by the sword. If you are displaying these badges, it will be assumed that everyone in the party is held to the same commitment. So, I mean, hopefully that won't create any infighting among you guys, but I want to make it very clear that that's how we're going to run, at least for the first session. And then depending on how things play out, you guys can always decide, well, now we're going to put these on, or now we're going to take them off. And you can obviously change sides, right? You can wear them this week, take them off for next week. But as the adventure progresses and you gain more fame and notoriety, people will remember which side were you on, because certain choices will have to be made as we go. And if you decide to support the heir, then your mission will be different than if you support the Lord Protector. And obviously, like I said, different NPCs will react differently. I don't see a clear advantage to one over the other. Like, they try and make it as ambiguous as possible so that you're not penalized for picking one over the other. It just adds a little bit of flavor to how things progress. Most importantly, starting with the session we're going to play today. So that's really the only piece of information you have to let me know before we move on, is whether or not you want to wear these badges openly or not.
Okay. Question. How many of these badges do we see aside from us? Like, being
the ones you guys have are quite unique. I would say you probably haven't seen any that are exactly like yours.
Okay.
There are some that are similar, but clearly the ones you've got are, I mean, they're worth 50 GP. Like, that's a lot of money to a first level character or basically a normal person. So they'd be extremely decorative. It's clear that they're made with with valuable gemstones. What you probably see is people, like regular people, have fashioned their own, and they've been made with like household items, or they've made them themselves, and it's, they might look nice, but it's clear that they're not worth 50 GP. So yeah, it's not just that I have this badge, but I have this badge that is super awesome, amazing looking.
And this is all in the protected area, right? Not in the I think there's a...
Right now, I'm assuming that your characters have, for the most part, stayed in the protected area. Again, as we just talked about last week, the characters have sort of just come back to Neverwinter. But it's up to each of you to decide your own backstory about what you know or where you're from. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, for my character, this actually kind of ties to it, isn't it? It's the Sons of Alengard?
Yeah.
They're the ones supporting it? Well, I was supposed to... My character was supposed to meet with someone who was supposed to be leader of the Sons of Alengard, and then they turned on us and attacked us with... and they're secretly like working for Dagal Neverember, and there was some sort of conspiracy going on within that organization.
Yeah, you probably your character would probably have already figured out based on that background that the group itself has a lot of infighting. So it's hard to make generalizations about what the whole group is doing, but over the last week, what you've definitely been hearing is the infighting has pretty much come to a stop. They've all, you know, it's like that whole thing, let's get everyone fighting a common enemy. That's exactly what's happened. Regardless of whatever petty squabbles the group had before the heir arrived, once he arrived, they all went, okay, you know what? He's bad news. For whatever reason, they don't like him. Or no, or do they like him? Which one are they? I keep getting them mixed up. No. The Sons of Alengard, they don't like the protector. They have thrown their full support behind the heir. That's right. So sorry, I had that. The heir, the lost heir, who you guys battled with.
There's been, no official response from Bago Nevermember, right? In terms of the heir, or
give me a streetwise check.
Oh boy. As of six.
No, you've not heard anything, and any inquiries you've made have not been with anyone who would have that information. But I will tell you that you'll learn more about that as we progress. So what do you think your characters would have been doing, if anything, during the last 10 days? They've just sort of been watching it from a safe distance, or have they been actually trying to interact with
actually her? My character would have been really into the politics of it, because that cuts to the core of his theme.
Okay, does he have a background?
Yeah, it's the noble.
Okay, so noble. One of the things about the noble background that it actually talks about in the adventure is the whole idea of the lost crown is that only a legitimate heir can wear the crown,
right.
And if someone puts a crown on their head who does not have the proper bloodline, I think they like take damage or something bad. They're cursed or something,
right?
And so what's been happening with basically any other characters would have the noble background is for the most part there might be some suspicion, like, who is this guy? But any suspicion has been alleviated by the fact that he's clearly wearing the crown. And every time he's seen, he's wearing the crown. So it's not like he just throws it on for a quick combat and takes it off. It's like he always is wearing it, and he hasn't peeled over yet. So he must be the real deal, or maybe he's tampered with the crown and figured out how to suppress it. It's very likely that anyone with the noble background has also been trying to find out more about this guy, because it's like, if he is the real deal, like, I want to make sure that he knows who I am and whether or not I want to support him. And I would think, again, it's up to you, but I would think most nobles would probably fall behind and say, you know what, the last thing we want is this guy from Waterdeep who's like a cousin 20th removed being the new king, when this guy might be like the king's second cousin, which is a much stronger tie. Like, he seems to be the guy. So
which guys were the ones on his side were the ones that were causing the vandalism then?
It's the guys who support the new king, like all the regular people, when they go around, they're like, who do you support? And people are like, well, I support the guy who's been here for the last 3 years. They're like, no, that's wrong. You got to support the new guy. He's awesome. He's going to be the real king. And when they don't, they like give them a hard time. They vandalize their store. They bully them. They haven't gotten to the point where they've killed anybody, but it's clearly, in 10 days, it's de-escalation has happened. And it's very noticeable, even to people who are trying to stay out of it. So, Greg, what do you think you'd be doing?
I'd be looking for connections with, because I'm playing my Harper's Agent theme to the T, so I'm trying to find out any more information you can find out about that whole double cross that had to happen with my character. Because now, according to the Harper's Agent theme, I'd be a person of suspicion because we were trying to meet up with the Sons of Alengard, and then they turned on us and killed a whole bunch of people. vehicle.
Yeah.
And then I swiped the harvest pin before I left, and now kind of incognito, trying to find, you know, people that would be friends to me. But with this whole situation with the encounters last week, I'd be trying to find where any kind of connections, just by like talking to the general public, seeing if I can overhear any rumors, maybe in a tavern or something like that.
Yeah, you've definitely, you're finding, right now it's pretty much cut right down the middle. There's a lot of people that are supporting the new guy. It's partly because he's new. Oh, well, you know what? Maybe things weren't that great under the old guy. Maybe the new guy will be better. Other people genuinely feel, you know, he has a legitimate right. He should be the king. So it's my duty as a you know, a loyal supporter of Neverwinter to support him. And other people are just like, I'm doing it because I got nothing better to do. Or, I, you know, I just want to fight the establishment.
Would I find anything more specific to, like, the Harper's sign or the Sons and all
that? Not yet.
Like, no one's talking about that.
No. Basically, each encounter gives me some notes about the various backgrounds, and this one doesn't give me anything specific about the Harper, so I don't think that you would have anything new specific to your background during this encounter. But I know coming up there's a few where the Harper definitely gets information.
My character at this point is kind of cautious still because it's still fresh, so you just want to be like too exposed and people think that I'm the one who betrayed everyone.
Yeah, right now I think, again, it's up to you on how you want to play it, but I would assume your character's probably wants to just remain as neutral as possible. You know, knowledge is power. Let's get as much information as we can before we make a decision.
That's pretty much exactly my whole character's mindset.
We gotta look for
especially the alarming way in which, like, everyone's sort of fucked.
Give me a streetwise check.
In front of the dragon in the end.
No, okay. So, it's just, there's some information you're going to find out. I was just going to see if your characters would have a chance to find out before that. I mean, it's not going to change the sway of the battle one way or the other. So. Okay. So, Rainus, you weren't playing last week, but you're here now. Do you have any thoughts about what do you think your character might be doing, or just chilling out and watching how things play out for now?
I think I'd be going around and seeing how the people are reacting to the... How people are reacting to the crisis.
Sorry, to which?
The crisis of it, how it's all the disorder and who should be in charge.
Yeah, the one of the things, give me a streetwise check. There we go. Should be charisma. Okay, so one of the things that you have been hearing a lot, and once Rainus' character brings it up, you guys sort of like, yeah, you know, I think I've been hearing some of that as well, is that the Protector's Enclave is supposed to be a safe area. Like, in the city of Neverwinter, there's this big chasm that opened up during the volcano, and like the plague change monsters have been coming out of it, and so they built the big wall right in front of it, and they're like, okay, you know what? We're going to keep the monsters on that side of the wall. This side of the wall, we're going to fix things up, and that's the Protector's area, which is where you guys have been. And for, you know, basically since the Lord Protector showed up and built the wall, things have been pretty good. There have been very few instances of things coming across the wall. In the last 10 days, there's been a ton of plague change creatures coming over the wall, around the wall, through the wall, and just getting into the protected area. So a lot of people are a little concerned that, you know, the Lord Protector was doing, well, it's not that he was doing a bad job, but he was at least doing a decent job before, and the wall seemed to be working. But in the last 10 days, there's been a noticeable increase in the amount of attacks. And, you know, it's quite fortunate that the Lost Heir is now arrived and has this tremendous, it seems like he's got this power over, like when he fought the dragon, the crown gave him like special powers against the plague change monster. And when he fought with you guys against the drakes, he had the sword that did both hot and cold damage. And it was all like, it seemed like the crown was empowering him to fight the plague change creatures. So people have really, taking note of the fact that there are these increased attacks, but fortunately the heir has been there to help quash the attacks. And, you know, if he wasn't here, like, I don't know what we would do. And so with that in mind, a lot of people seem very, very supportive of him, who maybe would be neutral otherwise. Okay.
I say we lie low for a couple of weeks.
So what do you think you'd be doing, Barry? Just chilling out, lying low?
Well, I went to the bellhop comes in, and then I say 5-0, 5-0. Touch the patch.
You find that there are definitely certain bars and taverns where when you show the badge, they offer you either discounted drinks or free drinks, or, you know, the ladies might be a little more friendly. But there are definitely some other places where when you show the badge, they're like, yeah, we're all sold out. It's like, well, clearly you're not. People are drinking. Nope. Sorry, we're sold out. You guys haven't experienced any, you know, actual fisticuffs because of it, but it's very, very clear that you know, a lot of places have made it very clear, we support this guy or we support this guy. You know, it's like Yankees or Red Sox. It's like, you don't go into a New York Yankees bar wearing a Red Sox paraphernalia. Like, you're asking to get your butt kicked. So that's you know, sort of where it stands now. But much like a baseball rivalry, right, so far that's all it is. It just seems to be a rivalry where people get pretty heated. You might get a couple of guys, you know, punching each other, but it hasn't gone beyond that yet. But it's very clear that it is escalating in that direction, and in a very short time could lead to much larger things. So with that in mind, you guys are starting to go, okay, you know what, we may want to insert ourselves into this power struggle in some way. So that's where we begin, is you guys are actually meeting for a drink at the Beach Leviathan. It's a tavern. You sit in the Beach Leviathan, so named because it's built into and around the hull of a galley called the Leviathan. Years ago, it ran ashore and hopelessly punctured its keel. Since then, docks have been built up around it. Today, the Leviathan is a seedy tavern that caters to sailors ranging from honest merchants to cutthroat pirates. And that's what we've got on the map here. The proprietor is a male human named Herrig. I thought it was Hagrid when I first read it. I'm like, really? No, Herrig. Depending on who you ask, and depending on how drunk he is when you ask him, sometimes he talks about being, you know, the most noble sailor that ever lived, and other times he talks about being a cutthroat pirate. So you guys can decide for yourselves what you think one way or the other. Where was it here? When it gives us here, he's very large and missing one leg. The legacy of a scrape with the Shaugan many years ago. Brackets. He has an honest to God peg leg. They wrote that right in the adventure. I laughed when I read that. Okay, so let's see.
Will we know prior to going in what movie is our favorite?
Yes. You would know that Herrig has been a pretty strong supporter of the Lord Protectorate.
You never remember?
Yeah. Hang on, let me just double check this.
The Lord Protector is...
he's the original.
So, okay, everybody give me a streetwise check on Herrig, because I'll assume you guys have come here a few times before, and you would certainly want to know before you keep going back one way or the other.
16.
And 14. I see a 14 over there. Oh, yeah, okay. So, this is... And again, it would totally make sense you guys would be able to pick this up. So, although Herrig himself is trying desperately to put on the neutral face, because he's astute enough to realize that if he comes out one way or the other vocally, it could mean that people will vandalize the store, he could lose customers, but it's pretty clear that he's a very, very loyal supporter of Lord Nevermember. One of the things that you've been able to learn, probably from one of the local tavern girls or something, is that when the Lord...
We're back from the top with Margaret.
When the Lord Nevermember came and was looking, like, when he first showed up, the town was in ruins. It didn't really have any real order. And he was looking for, like, community leaders to step up and you know, start this new rebuilding. This guy, Herrig, he was one of the first ones to step up. He was actually, it had some trouble with the law. And the Lord basically said, if you stay put and you become a good member of society, I will forgive any past crimes you might have done or anything you're accused of. I'll start judging you from this point forward, and you know, if you're a pillar of the community, I will treat you as such. And being a sailor for many years, this guy understands loyalty, and so from that day on, he's been very, very loyal. But you've seen in the last couple of weeks, he's been trying to downplay that, and it's almost like breaking his heart that he can't come right out and say, I support this guy. Like, he clearly wants to, but he's, again, he's reasonable enough to know that there are consequences. So if you guys had those badges, you would know. You don't want to pull them out while you're here. Even if you're going to wear them outside, as long as you don't have them on in here, like, he wouldn't deny you entry, and he wouldn't refuse to serve you. But yeah, it's just clear that he would be a lot less friendly. Let's see.
Now, is it the fact that he's sort of not outwardly supporting Lord Nevermember one of the reasons? Because his patrons seem to be more in support of...
Yes, I mean, he seems to be... His shop, like, he's got this tavern, right? So he wants to remain as neutral as possible so he doesn't potentially scare away customers, as well as avoiding repercussions from those who maybe disagree with his point of view. And one of the things you notice even now is that there are people in the tavern right now while you're here drinking that are clearly very vocal about their support of the new guy. And you can, you know, again, it's like that whole Yankees Red Sox thing. The bar doesn't clearly have pennants of one team or the other hanging up, but the two groups are sitting on opposite sides and they're sort of eyeing each other up like, yeah, I know you're over there. Yeah, you're getting a little loud over there. You know, that's sort of how it's playing out right now. And even people walking in who maybe don't have any part of this come in once they realize what's happening. It's like, well, I'm here now, you know, and I've been a Red Sox fan all my life, so I got to sit with the Red Sox guys. You know, that seems to be how it's playing out. What is it here? A group of bright blades. They're like we'll call them a gang for lack of a better term. But don't think like ruffian gang. Like, think very loose affiliation gang. Think after school club is probably a little more in line with their power level. They're loud, bragging youths. They've taken over a couple of tables in the tavern where they carouse and joust loudly, overconfident in their own importance. Based on their bravado, and their disparaging statements they make about the new Neverwinter, the adventurers know that the rowdy pages are clearly loyal to the emergent Lost Heir. And based on their age and just sort of what they're talking about and the fact that half of what they're saying is incorrect, you are absolutely positive they are in no way affiliated with the Sons of Alengard. They just seem to be too stupid. But these guys are drinking and they're getting really drunk and really loud. And again, much like a sports rivalry, everyone sort of, you know, minds their business until a guy has one too many, and then it's, you know, I throw something at someone and before you know it, all hell breaks loose. And that clearly seems to be where these kids are going at this point. You guys would realize that if you do have to interact with these guys for any reason, if you had these badges on, they would probably grovel at your feet. But considering what we just talked about before, it comes with consequences. Okay, so let's see. We talked about the dude. So the Herrig. Let's see, what's he doing? Herrig stands at the entrance to the former captain's cabin, which is now the kitchen, barking orders at a handful of servant lads and lasses, trading tales and gossip with patrons. He's grown more irritable than usual lately, as if something is clearly weighing heavily on his mind, which by now you guys had figured out it's the whole torn loyalty thing. The other person of note that's here, again, there's probably a dozen or so other nondescript people have a few beverages, is a water soul genasi named Len Jess. And give me a streetwise check on Len Jess.
Everybody?
Yes, sure.
13.
Barry's nodding off.
Barry's role-playing a character who's had too much to drink. So, you maybe didn't know much about her, but she's unusual in this particular area, so, you know, who's that? What you're able to find out is that Len Jess is Lord Nevermember's chief exchanger and accountant. She's basically a bookkeeper. And she actually, this is where she stays. She lives here. So you've probably seen her here a few times. She's probably pretty hot. So you're like, hey, who's that? You know, you're asking a few questions, and that's what you've been able to find out. And she's, unlike most adventurers, she's a nerd. She's very nerdy. She's all about the books and the numbers and the coins. You know, she's probably not in the best shape because she's not really an adventurer per se. She's more brains over brawn. But even as first level adventurers, you just the way she carries herself and some of the equipment she might carry, that you figure she's probably tougher than she looks.
Do we notice how she reacts when some of the comics come across the room from some of the supporters of the Usurper?
She seems to be doing a very good job of ignoring everything. Like, it's almost like when she's here, she just puts on blinders and nothing seems to bother her. You know, the people over here say the Lord is great, and people over here say the air is great, and she doesn't seem to flinch one way or the other. As long as people leave her alone, she's good.
And they're smart enough to not direct any comments at her?
I don't think that anyone in here right now is actually directing specific comments at any other one person. It's more just, you know, those Yankees sure do suck, as they lean heavily towards your table, but they're not actually pointing at you and saying, as a Yankee supporter, you suck. Yeah, like they're being loud about it when, you know, they're just trying to stir up some crap. So... you have this option now. I have a little bit of information, Harry. If you want to interact with him, maybe able to give you some more information. Len Jess, depending on how you handle that, may be able to give you some information. And even the rowdy bar guys may be able to give you some information. A lot of it was sort of already covered off, but you have that option. Otherwise, we can just, you know, stuff happens. But much like the scene in the marketplace, it'll go as long as you want it to go. And then when you're like, okay, we're ready, then stuff happens. Len Jess, Master of Trade is her title. She's a water soul genasi. Actually, if you give me an arcana check, it's a monster knowledge check, you can learn a little bit more just about her as... Oh, there we go. Okay. She's an elemental humanoid water type. Len Jess is a hydromancer. Her abilities enhance over that of a standard genasi. She appears calm and collected, but a streak of primordial chaos burns in her. So it's not even just that she's probably higher than first level, it's that she's like not your typical character stat template. She would have other powers above and beyond that. Which could explain why, number one, why she's in a position of importance, because I mean, you don't want just some wimpy guy or girl being able, you know, we're going to trust you with the city's finances, and then you got jumped on your way to work. And it also explains why she just sort of is ignoring everything, because clearly she doesn't care.
Pretty far away.
Popular, it's two calls in a row. So, assuming that you guys haven't been wearing the badges, Harry, the barkeep, he's probably been chatting with you over the last few visits, which is how you found out some of this information about him. But again, if you've got specific questions, I do have some guidelines for some other information he may have, but none of this is going to make or break things that play out. It's just, it may give you additional information on how you want to, you know, interact with some of these people moving forward.
I wouldn't mind splitting up and going corner and trying to see what we do. How we do. Yeah. Do you have anybody in particular you'd want to talk to?
Yeah, I'm content to sit in the corner.
You want to take a piece, like, grab
so you want to talk to Lens? I can either talk to Harrod or the Rowdy Bunch.
Actually, yeah, I'll go to the Rowdy Bunch.
You want to talk to the Rowdy Bunch?
Your Harper Agent? Yes. Harper Agent is one of the backgrounds here. Any character with a Harper Agent gets a +2 to all skill checks involving Len Jess.
Yeah.
Harper Agent, Dead Rat, Deserter, Renegade, Red Wizard, Brigadier, Spy have all heard about Len Jess from their contacts in the city.
Alright, so you will talk to Len Jess. I will talk to Hagrin.
Herrick the innkeeper. Okay.
And then he'll go talk to the Rowdy Bunch.
Yeah.
You take 22 damage.
And they're against the air?
Sorry?
And they're talking loudly against the air?
Yeah, against the protector, yeah.
Yeah.
They're like for the new guy.
Okay, so Craig, why don't we do Lenjess first? So you mosey on over. Hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, hey, how you doing? You know, can't help but us not. Well, I mean, I would know by reputation that she works for Lord Nevermember.
Yeah, you definitely know she works for Lord Nevermember, but like she's clearly not standing up to sing his praises here in the bar, which does not necessarily mean that she doesn't support him publicly, but clearly she doesn't either doesn't care or she's got other things on her mind.
Oh, maybe like, oh, hey, you know, it's getting a little dangerous around here for Nevermember. In a non-threatening way, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
Not insinuating, but...
Yeah.
So no. You don't look like you're too shaken up a bit. It's...
No, she's... Again, she's sort of... Not rude, but very sort of curt to the point, and she's like, "This is a safe place." She's like, "I have no fear. I live here, so this is my home. I'm comfortable. I'm not worried." She sort of looks over at the young guy. She goes, "They're all talking."
I'll agree with her. Yeah, you're right. You know, how's the rest of the Neverwinter camp doing? You know, we should all be unified and rebuilding Neverwinter, but there's a bit of a budding rivalry happening. And how's the Neverwinter camp setting up? I'm really seen a lot of people.
It's like, because I've been in Never. She goes, I've been here in Neverwinter a long time. Well, a long time probably means like a year. She goes, I've been in Neverwinter long enough to know that this kind of thing comes and goes. She's very confident in her response. She's like, this will blow over. It's nothing. The Lord Protector is gonna, you know, remain the guy. And she's absolutely confident. Give me a diplomacy check here.
So that is 16 I've rolled, and so plus 2.
Yep.
So that's 18.
Okay. So yeah, it's most of the information I've just provided here already. So, you know, she says like, she's absolutely confident that the Lord Nevermember will keep things under control and that this will pass over. She demonstrates no fear either for her personal safety or for like, you know, that around her, that this uprising is going to have any serious long-term repercussions. But she does make it very clear that she's not one to stand up and, you know, rah rah cheer cheer. She's like, he's my employer, you know, I understand why he's here and what he's doing, and I believe that he's going to do what he needs to do. And she's like, you know, if people can't see that for themselves, it's their business, not my place to sing his praises.
Praise the Lord.
Does she meet with him regularly?
You'd probably figure that she probably bumps into him at least once a day. She may not have like a formal meeting, but she probably works wherever he's based.
What is his take on this whole lost air business?
She's like, I've never thought to talk to him about it. She's like, it's really not my place to ask. And she goes, he doesn't, he certainly doesn't volunteer that information. Let's see. Yeah, and that's pretty much it. She's very to the point, very direct. She's polite but assertive, and it's sort of like, okay, you know, yeah, I've seen you here before. Clearly, you're a regular. You seem like a nice enough guy, but that's enough. I'm here to eat my dinner and finish my work and get lost. Oh, but in a polite way.
Graceful, but like, I'll let you get back to it. See you later. I get the
Yeah. Okay. And Herrig, let's see, what does Herrig have? He's
what's the subtle hint?
She was basically trying to get lost, to stop off. Like she's being polite.
Okay. So
buy you a coffee.
You're able to you know, you start chatting up Herrig, you go to the bar, he gets you a drink, you know, oh, I'm glad to see you're back. You know, you never know these days who may decide to come or not come depending on, you know, what's going on. And again, like, it doesn't take a genius to realize that he's clearly not the jovial, happy guy that he might have been 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. I go, it's unfortunate for Lord Nevermember that the Lost Air seems to have appeared when he has, because, you know, I am from Waterdeep myself, and I know of the Lord's good works in Waterdeep before he came here.
I know.
Yes, he's a great man, isn't he? He really does a good job. It's like, But and then it's like he sort of catches himself. But of course, if this lost heir is really, really the heir, then, you know, who am I to say? Sort of looking around like, did anybody hear that? So, yeah.
It's really astounding how the heir always seems to appear when the creatures, the attacks and the protectorate have been occurring. It's almost, it's really fortuitous.
I was like, oh well, as long as he defeats them, that's what's important, right? He's a strong warrior, that's certainly what everyone's saying. So, he's
can I see your crown? Yoink.
What's his name? Harry. So he talks a little bit just about how, you know, it's unfortunate that so many people feel they have to pick sides. You know, Nevermember has been a very strong cultural melting pot where everyone's been able to come together, different races, different classes, different religions. And, you know, much the way that Waterdeep has been successful in that way, Neverwinter was clearly heading in that direction. And now there seems to be this big political struggle and people seem like they have to pick sides. And again, he sort of points to the rowdies, and he's like, you know, you say the wrong thing to the wrong people and you never know what might happen. He's like, I'm just you know, I just hope that if things go wrong, that you know, the Lord Protector will continue to protect us. And, you know, and he sort of says that last part sort of under his voice, but you know, he's like,
so, I mean, you must hear things all the time. Have you heard anything one way or the other? Like,
give me a streetwise. Actually, give me a diplomacy.
Diplomacy. I got a whopping +2 on that because of my theme.
Have you seen one of these? And I flashed the badge.
19 total.
Okay, so you chat them up a bit. Again, we'll assume that your characters have interacted before, but this is sort of the first time you've given them the hard sell. And he seems to really get a good feeling from you. And he sort of comes out and asks. He's like, you know, although I hate to take sides, it seems prudent to sort of figure out who your friends are. And he's like, what are your feelings about the Lost Heir? It's like, are you do you believe that his claim is as strong as he's proclaiming? Do you think the Lord Protector should step aside, or?
Well, I mean, if it truly is the lost crown of Neverwinter, it would appear, based on all the lore that I know, that he would be a legitimate claim to the lordship of Neverwinter. However, I've never been able to get close enough to really ascertain any or all of that. And again, I've sort of been suspicious on the fact that he seems to always be around when the attacks occur, and he disappears. I mean,
he's like, one of the things that I've heard is that Lord Nevermember has actually reached out to the heir in the week since he's appeared, and has tried to meet him and speak with him, and that the heir has until now refused all these meetings. You know, this it may just be a rumor, but he's like, if this is true and he really is the heir, what does he have to lose by having such a meeting? He's like, it really troubles me, and it's that sort of speaks loudly as to his true intent. But so anyway, he chats you up for a little bit more, and then, I mean, again, there's a lot of patrons coming and going, so he sort of, that's pretty much all. Other than that, you get the sense that it's really troubling him, that you get the sense that it's like he's met this guy maybe once or twice, maybe shaken his hand, and now he feels like he knows him. Like, he's definitely a loyal supporter. It's almost like when a politician is campaigning, it's like, I met that guy. Like, clearly the politician is not going to remember who you were, yeah, but you have this strong memory that I met this guy, I shook his hand, and he stands for what I stand for. I'm going to vote for him every time. Like, that's clearly what this guy's motivation is like. And it's clearly troubling him that that he can't stand up and be supportive of this guy who he probably genuinely feels is his friend. I mean, not that he's not his friend, but you know what I mean. Okay. So you guys sort of come back, you have a couple of drinks, you trade information about what you've talked about. And
I think you want to talk to the rowdy.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you want to talk to the rowdy guys?
Yeah.
Okay. So again, they're pretty young. They're probably like between 14 and 18. And, you know, clearly a couple of them are drinking underage, but this is D&D. I find that happens a lot. Only in the game, though. Never at the gaming table.
Never.
So as soon as you approach them, they're all like, oh, your character's female, right? Hey, baby, woo, pull up a seat. And then they start going on about the lost heir. And they're like, oh, clearly you're a supporter of the heir. All the best people are. They're expecting you to be like, yes, absolutely.
Yes.
So do you play along? Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
Okay. So yeah, they're, as long as you seem to be agreeing with them, they're very friendly. They're a little bit obnoxious, but they're certainly friendly. You know, come on, pull up the seat. Oh, no, sit next to me. No, sit next to me. Hey, do you have a sister? And they're just being jerks. But for the most part, they seem pretty harmless. I mean, your character's wearing armor and carrying a mace, and they're just regular guys. So they know if they go a little too far, you know, you can hit them with the mace. So they're not going that far. Is there anything specific you wanted to ask them, or you just wanted to sort of size them up a little bit?
Yeah, size them up a bit, but then
see if there's anything
they know about anything.
Okay, give me a diplomacy check.
7.
Okay, so you know, you ask them some questions, and then they just keep going on and on about how they go on and on about how, you know, oh, the heir is great, and he could have shown up at a better time, and you know, this is they're the right age at the right time, that as soon as he takes over, they'll be set to move into these great cushy jobs working for the new king, and they'll be set for life, and they're going to be the next generation of nobility, and like they're talking out of their butt. They don't know what they're talking about. You know, the streets will be paved with gold, and there will be no hunger, and there will be no spell plague, and he's the greatest ever. And clearly some of them either have had too much to drink, have overactive imaginations, or are incredibly stupid, or combinations of all three. And you realize that after about 10 or 15 minutes, all you're going to get by sticking around is more guys slapping you on the butt. So
time to pull out the pace.
Yeah, kind of.
So you remind them that I'm an experienced warrior with a heavy mace, and they're like, have a nice day. So,
and I leave.
Okay, so you guys all sort of gather back around and trade stories, and that's where things get a little bit interesting. So you hear booted feet outside the beach Leviathan. Every eye turns to the front doors, which promptly swing open to admit two soldiers in the livery of the new Neverwinter. They survey the room and then step aside. A tall, grim-looking woman strides into the common room. Her demeanor, a picture of military efficiency. She wears plate armor and a sword at her waist. Her eyes find you, and she crosses to your table. You're the ones I'm looking for, she says. Yes, it is. General Sabine. That's exactly who it is. Do you ask her that? You would probably suspect.
Well, yeah, because when we were having the pastries with What's-His-Face, yeah, he mentioned General Sabine, and he mentioned her being disheartened.
Yeah, so you probably, after the information you got from the last encounter, had sort of made a point of finding out who she was. So yeah, you immediately recognize her, and you sort of say on your breath to the guys, this is General Sabine. And yeah, so she comes right over. So she comes, you're the guys I'm looking for. And she says, I have orders from the Lord Nevermember to gather you four and bring you back. He wants to speak with you.
Okay, and do you know what to do?
She's like, I'm just following orders. He asked me to come and get you. I'm here to get you.
I don't hear anything out of her.
And like the rowdies at the next table are all like, boo, boo. And you have one guy, show us your boobs. You know, they're saying some pretty rude and inappropriate things, but she's like a statue. Like, it doesn't faze her. Clearly, she has seen combat, and she is an experienced warrior. Like, she's a general, right? She could probably kick some butt. She's not going to let some rowdy teenagers, you know, get her all riled up.
All right, so, yeah, I guess
as well. I don't think this is an invitation that we can really refuse. Okay.
So yeah, you guys are sort of saying, you know, should we go, should we not go? And she goes, look, I don't care if you come or you go one way or the other. My orders were to come and get you. I don't care if you want to come or you don't want to come, but you're coming. Yeah. She's like, we can do this the easy way or the hard way. The easy way is stand up and you come with me, and the hard way is I get these guys to help me and we drag you down there. But she's
all right.
You know,
still don't be no need for that.
No, she's not rude about it. She's just very direct. Like, she's used to giving orders and people snap to it. And as soon as you start going, well, should we or shouldn't we? Like, her eyes sort of roll back in her head. Like, if you were under my command, I would have you flogged for not snapping to attention and doing what I'm saying. Like, you get the distinct impression that very few people refuse her commands, even if they're not under her direct authority. So,
okay, where do we go?
So you guys are gonna go with her?
Oh yes.
Okay. So you're like,
how can we refuse such a inviting?
Of course. Okay. So,
Torm's good name. I don't think there's any way we should refuse the authority.
Excellent. And you know, she sort of smiles a bit, and you can see the two guards are sort of like, oh good, like they clearly didn't want to have to fight you guys. And so you guys sort of make, you know, we'll just pay the check. Like, it's clear that you're going to get up and go with her, and that's when things start to get exciting. So the rowdy patrons at the other table in the tavern have fallen into uneasy silence since the arrival of the general and her guards. Now their anxiety has built to a boiling point, and one stands up. Death to the usurper stooges, he shouts, slurring his words. Immediately, the other patrons stand up and join the brawl, and they all just start fighting. A couple of them throw some tankards, one guy grabs a chair, and then just immediately, like, they figure, she's with the Lord, you guys are going with her, you must be on her side, that's it. You know, you passed my limit, it's on.
The alcohol has blurred your sense of judgment.
Slightly uncomfortable with the general's presence.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay,
so let me place all this stuff on the map here. We're gonna have some combatants and some non-combatants. You guys are at this table, so you can be anywhere on or around that table for purposes of the combat.
Take a corner.
You have to be around the table.
On or around the table.
She came in through which door?
Probably this one.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. What's this is a door, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Good.
These are the four rowdies. They had this nice little room to themselves where they were hopefully going to keep things civil and under control. Of course, they have not.
Recognize all those faces from the guys we saved, but
yeah. Oh, I didn't bring them out. Okay. We'll assume that there's
another
table of some sort over here. He says to put these four in the corner.
Are those the soldiers?
No, these are just people who are drinking. Blue cloaks and yellow cloaks are innocent bystanders. The guys with the torches are the bad dudes. For you.
Probably one lesson here.
They're all the rowdy dudes.
Yeah. Okay, I just need to grab a couple more minis.
Oh boy.
We'll just use these for now because I don't want to waste time digging out minis. So we'll say that this is the Chicky Poo, and these are her two guards. And this is where everyone's supposed to. Although why they're not next to you at the beginning of the combat, I have no idea. Actually, I guess what it probably was is you guys agreed to come, so she sort of got up and started going this way, and you guys are about to get up and follow her. So they're heading for this door. That's probably what it was. Okay.
I'm heading out the back door.
What are you playing?
I'm playing an adventure.
Come on.
I didn't.
Slut.
Okay.
So you'd better get that.
Basically, what happens is you've got some innocent bystanders, you've got the general and two of her men, and you've got the guys who are, like, there's a bunch of the people that are loyal to the new, the Lost Air. So there are actually more of these guys with the torches, probably somewhere over here. And what ends up happening is these guys engage in battle, like, you know, it's a bar brawl, with the general and her men. And it basically says, just remove them from the map. So this, their little fight happens independently of yours.
Okay.
So assume that's going on in here, but it will have no bearing on the outcome of more fight.
Okay.
So I'm just going to move all that off the map. And these innocent bystanders will make best effort to get the heck out of the way. So again, blue capes, yellow capes, innocent bystanders. So the guys with the torches have their eyes set on you, and as soon as the combat begins, they're going to try and like, they clearly are making way towards you.
Now, are they actually pulling out weapons, or
no,
is this improvised?
They're using chairs and tankards.
Okay.
Tankards are their missile weapons, and chairs are their melee weapons. And they are pretty drunk, so they actually have a lot of hit points because they got their false bravado going. Okay, let's see what else is happening here. Okay, there's enough light that that's not a problem. Areas marked with the crates and barrels are difficult terrain. Stairs are difficult terrain, and the oven in the middle is blocking terrain. Harry commissioned this massive oven in the center of the room. It radiates a great deal of heat, but does not deal any fire damage. So you can't move through it, but you can stand on either side of it. So imagine, for all intents and purposes, that this is a solid wall. So a guy standing on this side cannot fight a guy standing on this side, but you can hide behind him. Okay.
The fire?
Yes. The start of the encounter, Herod flees and hides in the kitchen with his staff. Len Jess uses her swift current power to flee upstairs, so they get out of there. The bar brawlers are drunk and they have no concern of strategy. They initially attack the characters who wear any of the badges. You guys don't wear any of the badges. They attack nearby chairs and tankers. Well, we knew that. The general defends herself, and that happens. Okay, so let's play this out. Unfortunately, they rolled awesome on their initiative. So, yep, these guys come barreling out. This guy and these two guys use their tankards. They stand back and they're throwing the tankards full of ale at you. They're the metal ones with the covers on. So when they hit you, they open up, the fear gets all over you. And those other two guys come up and they're running at you with chairs. Okay, so get some dice ready here. Who is that with the red cloak and the staff? Okay, so the first guy with the chair comes up to attack Rainus. He swings it over and he gets a 20. Way to go. Okay, so 13 damage. He cracks that chair. You're totally not expecting. He's like, whoop! Gets you across the head. Couple of
chair break.
Couple of teeth go spitting out. He pushes you one square and then can shift one square. So he pushes you to there and then he moves right into that square.
I'm bloody.
Already?
Yes.
How many hit points do you have?
13.
All right. Oh, you have 26 as your normal maximum? Oh, wow. Okay. Someone mark in as bloody. Oh, and you are marked by that guy.
Holy smokes.
Okay. The other guy. Who is he up next to? Who's the guy with the sword? Okay, so the other brawler, seeing the success of his buddy, 3, misses by a mile. Swings, yeah, he's like, oh, he gets on that difficult terrain, he stumbles a bit, and doesn't quite connect. The other three guys throw tankards, so this guy will throw at whoever that guy is with the shield. I think that's Craig. Okay. 23.
Oh, that's
yes. Okay. Hits you for 8 damage, and you are marked by the guy in the corner, and you get beer all over you.
Lick it up.
Okay. These two guys, let's see. We'll just do this here. Let's roll a d4. He's going to attack Barry, and he's going to attack Al. Okay, so Barry, you're first. You're going to have a look. Oh, no, that's his buddy, so no cover from that guy. 16 versus AC? Yep. Okay, 7 points damage. And Al, 18 versus AC.
Missed.
Okay. Somebody mark Barry. Okay, so... Okay, so Barry, you were marked by this guy. Okay. Reynes, you're marked by this guy. Craig, you're marked by this guy. Now, all the mark will do is -2 if you don't attack that guy. It's not like the fighter mark where they get to do anything bad to you. It's just the straight up -2, and it only lasts for 1 round. Okay. The brawlers, with their overconfidence and bravado, have come in and done some serious hurt to the party in the first round. Now it's your turn to give them some payback. So it's Reynes, then Craig, then Al, then Barry. It's like this.
I would recommend Mon Beeper. I would recommend non-lethal.
Yeah, so if you do a killing blow, you just have to, I'll let you know that it knocks them down, and you can tell me if you're killing them or not. So, Rainus, you're up first. Now, that character has... Sorry, I'm going to just... I've played that character before, so I'm going to try and help you out a little bit. They have an encounter power that gives everyone 5 temporary hit points. I would use that early in the battle before people start dying. Because it's the effect is the temporary hit points, right? So people will get those temps whether you hit or miss. And it does the same damage as your regular attack. So when I play that character, I always start with that attack.
Yeah, I think I will start with
that. Okay. So everybody, including you, everybody will get 5 temporary hit points. You can score that because you'll get that whether he hits or misses. Yep. And which guy are you attacking? You attack the guy who marked you? Okay. What number is that guy? Number 4?
Oh yeah, 23.
23 will hit.
What's the damage? So everybody gets 5 temps?
5 temporary hit points, yep. Sorry, how much damage?
8 plus 4 is 12.
12 damage, nice. What number is this little guy there?
4, I think.
12 damage, number 4. Awesome. You didn't like that too much. Okay, did you want to move?
You can
shift one square.
You can shift one and flank them.
You can flank with Barry. Craig, you're gonna be next. Perfect. Okay. Craig, fire away. What are you gonna do?
I guess I'm gonna give you a healing word then.
Okay. The surge +2.
And because of my domain, you also get +2 power bonus to all the defensive abilities.
Nice.
All right, and then I'm going to use my true strike with the whisper sound prayer or little prayer charm, allowing him to have +4 to his next attack roll.
Nice.
The next turn.
Okay.
Oh, sorry.
That's Sal's character?
Shift over 1.
Okay. So you're not actually attacking, you're just going to make his attack a little bit more potent. Works for me. Al.
I was going to go and try and grab the two guys up there.
Actually, also, I have that.
All right. So, minor action. I'm going to activate my Defender's Aura.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to...
Are you going to draw an opportunity attack?
Yes, I will.
12. Not enough. So again, he swings, he misses you horribly.
Did he even take any damage from you? Did he take any damage from you?
No.
Yeah, so then I'm going to, I guess, pike this guy.
What number is he?
number two.
Okay.
So that's the guy that marked me.
Yep.
What are you hitting with?
Longsword. But again, it's going to be non-lethal.
Okay.
You get plus four to this.
Plus four?
Yeah. Yep.
So that's 19 AC.
19 will hit. Although it doesn't give me an equipment list, they have an AC of 17, so I got to think they're probably wearing like a leather armor or something.
So it's 8 points damage.
And that was number 2?
Yeah.
And that included the plus 4 from Craig? Or was that to hit or was that to damage?
Oh, that was just attack rolls.
Okay, so 8 damage?
Yeah.
Done. Anything else?
That he's still up?
Oh, yeah.
You know what, I'm going to power strike it.
Power strike? Okay. Nice.
Another 8.
Okay. That bloodied him. Break to the number 16. Okay. Barry.
Okay, I am going to put on Oath of Enmity.
Yeah.
Against.
Let's put that underneath the guy
in front of you.
Guy in front of me.
Yep, good call. Allows him to roll 2d20s and take the better one.
And I will use Radiant Vengeance.
Okay. Is that a melee attack? No, that's a range attack.
Okay, so it's Overwhelming Strike then.
Yep. So remember, roll it twice. So 6 or... 15 plus, yeah, that'll definitely
with the flanking.
Yep.
Plus 7.
The 15 and the flanking will do it. Okay, so roll it up.
It's
what number is that?
Number 4.
Thank you, Marshall. 1 plus 4. 5 points of damage.
Okay.
And I slide the target 1 square into the space I just occupied.
So basically, you can move out of the way and then put him into your square.
Yeah. No, I'm not gonna.
Okay, perfect. So you said he's bloody?
Number 4?
Yeah, he's bloody now. Okay. So.
No. How long do I stay marked?
Till the end of the brawler's next turn. So they're going to go now. So if they continue to attack you, it'll stay.
Okay.
So the innocent bystanders basically get out of the way. They either hide or they manage to run away. The brawlers aren't dumb enough to take opportunity attacks on them because they realize that, you know, they seem to be pretty evenly matched with you guys right now. They've got you outnumbered 5-4, and they don't need to bring anybody else in to make their odds any worse.
So where are the soldiers?
This is the 4th call I've had tonight. One of the people who called is Liam. He played Encounters with him. He knows Wednesday night is D&D. Everybody, the other one was my mom. Mom, I play D&D Wednesday nights. She knows this. Family is funny. Okay, so the innocent bystanders manage to either hide underneath tables, a couple of them dart into those rooms, or they manage to just leave. The other sort of skirmish that's going on up in this corner is with General Sabine and her 2 men and a bunch of other rowdies, probably 5 or 6 of them ganged up. So like clearly this is going to, she's not going to be able to come to your rescue anytime soon. Her battle will progress at the speed of plot. It'll be amazing how her fight ends at around exactly the same time as yours. Okay, the brawlers. So these 2 guys here with the tankards, or that had tankards and threw them, clearly aren't going to do that now that they're next to the defender. So, they both reach for the nearest chair, and they both decide to smack you. So, Barry, you're not going to be marked anymore because the guy who marked you was attacking Al.
Okay.
So, Al, you get 2 attacks on you. 9 and 24.
24 will
hit. 9 points damage.
Before that was a reaction.
Should have done that first time. Shifts you there, and he goes square there. Okay. That guy down there grabs another gale off of the table and throws it at, I guess, Craig again. Ooh, and he rolls a 24 again.
Which guy?
This guy over here.
Okay.
This guy's got my number.
Yeah, oh shit, nope, not a D10. He rolls a D. Max damage, 10 points.
Oh man, that is bloody.
Wow, they're doing a lot of damage with beer cups. Okay. And then this guy shifts to here. And attacks Rainus. And now he's got a flanking bonus. Oh, it's not going to help him. 12 versus AC? No. Okay, so. Hang on, there's that guy standing on the barrels. He shifts one over.
he'll take two. Oh, he gets an attack of opportunity.
He's
my aura.
Oh, he's in your aura. Oh, no, look, he's got you flanked. He'll attack you. 21 versus AC.
Just hits.
Ouch. Seven points.
Cheap for commoners. These guys are pretty.
It's the chairs. They're metal chairs. Okay. Are you bloody? Okay, good. All right. Team Heroes. Raiders, Craig, Al, Barry.
Is it possible to knock them out?
Yeah, you just keep hitting them, and when they reach zero hit points, I'll ask you, do you want to knock them out or do you want to kill them? And if you want to knock them out, they just fall unconscious.
Oh, okay, so they're just yeah.
Okay, yeah, these two guys are bloodied, so focus your attacks there.
Yeah. You can just delay if you're not sure what you want to do. Craig's going to go before you, or Craig's coming up next.
I'm not sure what I should do, I think.
Or maybe you can wait, maybe Barry will shift and you can shift, and then you guys can flank the bloody guy.
That is so tempting.
Well, if you now keep in mind, if you try and move away right now, you're going to draw two opportunity attacks minimum. They do a D10 plus 3. Can you? Oh, wow, there you go.
It's horribly tempting.
All you have to do is be able to see where you're going.
Yeah, I'm thinking of going there and there.
But now keep in mind, what are you going to do when you get there? Because I don't think your character has any ranged attacks.
I have one.
The javelin?
Yeah.
Yeah, but your rolls are not very good with the javelin. I mean, it's totally up to you, and it'll get you out of trouble, but
let's see.
Do you want to maybe hit them first and then teleport out of the way?
So that's an attack.
Are you going to face step to there, or are you going to move? Because if you move more than one, two guys are going to get to attack you.
Now one's at minus two because it's in my aura.
I'll just go.
Okay.
That's not flanking.
No, that's not flanking. Okay. You gonna unload on him, the blessing of battle?
And I will hit him with my face.
Okay, which attack are you gonna do?
Yeah.
Face.
So you should have like a, there's one blessing of battle and I can't remember what the other one's called. One gives you, I think, resist two to damage.
Battle.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's your money in the bank. You want to use that one unless you need a saving throw. Okay, so roll it up.
Roll to hit.
His armor class is 17. That'll do it.
On the number.
Nice. Okay, damage. What number is that guy? Number two?
11 and 1. You or 1 alley. Okay, has the most damage right now.
Yeah, Craig's pretty hurt.
Yeah,
they're within 5 squares. So you get resist 2.
Don't forget, everybody had 5 temporary hit points, right?
Yeah. Okay. Did you want to do anything? Do you want to use your action point, or are you good?
Yeah.
Okay. Craig, you're up next, then Al.
Yeah.
Craig, if you move back, he's going to draw an opportunity attack from me. Like, I don't know what you want to do. Do you have a range attack?
Well, I actually could. This guy's, like, barely. I mean, I only have my range basis. I could just try and just take everything and try and get this guy far down away from him.
Now, if the guy, the number 6 guy who's in your aura, if he attacks Craig, you get an attack on him as well, right?
I get an attack of opportunity.
And yours goes first, then his.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's at full. You're not going to
kill. I have a feeling right now, but this guy's hitting me hard with these ranged attacks. I want to just run by, provoke opportunity, try and get him to hit. And if I do get down the way, I can just keep healing for myself. You guys have a cleric over there already, right?
That's true.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay. So he's definitely going to do it. So, Al. So you run past, so as this happens, so first Al gets to make an opportunity attack. He's number 6.
That'll be a 15.
15 is not going to be enough. He attacks Craig, and he got a 20 versus AC. Oh, wait, minus 2? 18 versus AC. Okay, the chair swings around for maximum damage. 13 points.
I'm going to trigger my...
Now remember, you have to resist 2, so it'll only be 11.
Resist 2? I also have that thing where I can resist 5 as well. But I don't know if those stack.
I don't think they stack. I would hold on to that resist 5 for now. Just take the 11 if it won't kill you.
I'm still standing up.
Wait for it until they start swinging the marshmallows.
Okay, and then what kind of attack are you going to do on that guy?
Well, first I'm actually going to give myself a healing art because I'm pretty low.
Good call. Surge plus one. But your defenses will go up, right?
Yeah.
So that'll help.
It's actually, it'll...
And you sort of, you pin that guy, like, now he has to swing at you.
Yeah. So my defenses are plus two to the next turn. And I'm going to get my ringing blow on him.
Okay. Hit him. Hit him.
Oh, you know what? That's 13 versus AC if I use the human effort. Hero
yep. Plus four, that'll bring you right to the number. Good thing. What number is that guy? Number five?
Yep.
Big dice, come on, big dice.
That's only 10 damage.
10, okay. Anything else? Action point? Are you still bloody?
Yes, I am. Okay. You know, maybe, I may as well action point second myself. Or should I hold on?
Your call. If he hits you for maximum damage, it's 13. You have 13 hit points? Minus to resist 2.
I don't.
You have 11 hit points?
I have 9 hit points.
Okay. I'll give you the
He's got to hit you, and he's got to roll almost the max in order to drop. You want to just hold out?
Yeah, hold off for a while.
Al, you're up next.
Okay. Minor action.
Did you hit the guy?
Take heart, friend.
Yeah, hit him.
So you're within 5, right?
Yeah.
2, 3, 4, 5. All right, you get plus 2 in all your defenses.
Yeah.
Until the start of my next turn. And you need 5 temp.
5 temp?
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay, I'm going to use a second.
Is that range. An encounter power?
Huh?
That's an encounter power or daily? That you use on him.
That's an encounter.
Yeah, okay.
I'm going to use a second wind.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to go back up to 32.
Okay. Yeah,
I'm
going to
get plus 2 on all my defenses.
Got
it. Two of them in my aura.
So you're hoping to draw the attacks and hopefully not even take damage, and if you do, you can just suck it up.
Right.
Okay.
So before I'm going to do my second wind, I'm going to do a second minor. I'm going to activate my poison salt, which gives me a plus 1 on all my attack rolls.
Until when?
It's a stance.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because they may draw opportunity attacks, so it's good to have. Okay, Barry.
Hey, I am going to
finish him. Shift.
Yeah, for shift 1. If you hit him, he should fall down. He's only got 5 hit points.
I use overwhelming strike.
Okay, so roll 2d20s.
17.
That's yep.
Enough.
And
see if it gets a crit.
14.
Those are both enough to hit. So, can you do at least 5 damage? Do you...
At least 1d10 plus 4 damage.
So yeah, you're gonna do it.
You're gonna drop.
So do you want to kill him or you just want to knock him unconscious?
No, I'm just gonna knock him unconscious.
Okay, 3. He's exactly down. Okay, so take him off the map. So now he was your oath of enmity. So next time you'll have to mark someone else as your oath of enmity if you want to roll the 2 dice. Okay, so number 2 is down. Good job. Okay, back to the brawlers. They see their buddy fall, and they sort of like, uh-oh, maybe we're in a little bit too deep. And then
drop
they realize...
the other bloody guy, you guys.
Okay, so first order of business, the two guys flanking Al are both going to attack him. Because if he goes down, that presents options. So, we'll start with number 6. Oh, it was the 20, and it rolled to the 1. So the 1 missed. And then guy number 3... A 2.
So, almost fell over.
Almost fell off. Almost. Okay. The bloodied guy grabs a tanker, throws it at Barry. It gets a 16 versus AC.
Ah, hit me.
For 9 points of damage.
9. Holy.
And then he moves. Moving 5 or 6?
6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Moves over there.
Actually, he only goes to there. Yeah. Even that guy seems to be kind of cowardly. He doesn't want to take any more damage, so he's going to try and hide behind those barrels. Okay, back to team heroes. So, Rainist and Craig, and Al, then Barry.
You didn't swing at me. You didn't go toe.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yep. Thanks for the honesty. Okay, number
five. He does
five.
Have a plus four on his armor class.
Number
so.
Five grabs the chair, and he grins like an idiot. And he's like two-handed, over the head, tries to bash it down on you, and he rolls a three. Wow, I'm perfect today. He rolled a one, a two, and a three this round. Okay, and he misses. Okay, now, sorry, Rainus, then Craig, then Al, then Barry. Rainus, what do you want to do?
Try and drop this guy.
Make sure these guys are all in the right squares.
Number three and number six have not taken any damage at all. Number four is bloody. He's right on the number.
Face death.
No, you were not attacked this round, so you were not marked anymore.
Okay, I go there.
Al would be marked, but you're going to attack those guys anyway. So. Okay, so you teleport there, and you scare the crap out of that guy, because, you know, he thought he was all safe hiding behind the barrels, and boom, there you are. You're going to hit him with the Blessing of Battle again?
Actually...
Want to do something a little bit more potent?
Can I try and talk some sense into him?
You might be able to intimidate him.
Well, this is the thing. You can at any time during any combat, you can always try and use either intimidate or diplomacy or even bluff to try and convince monsters to stop fighting. If they're bloody, you can use these skills to try it. If it's successful, they will stop fighting. However, if you continue to fight their buddies, they're not going to believe you. So you could try a check right now and convince them, yeah, I'm going to stop fighting. But as soon as one of the other guys swings at one of his friends, he's back in the fight. So yeah, you may not want to do that yet.
But the other guys might be still fighting.
Okay, well, I'm going to try it.
So you got your option. You can use intimidate or diplomacy or bluff. You figure bluff, it would probably be your hardest one. Intimidate is probably going to be your easiest one.
No, it isn't. Diplomacy is the only thing I have plus five. The other
okay.
Is plus zero.
So you want to convince them to stop fighting. What are you telling them? Remember, diplomacy's got to involve some honesty here, so you can't tell them something that's absolutely a lie.
I didn't really want to go, so can you just calm down? See if your buddy, see if you can tell your buddies that, because I'm not sure we want to go.
Okay, give me a diplomacy check. Okay, he says to you, I'm clear, like he's taking a couple of hits, right? Like he's hurt. So here's like saying, you know, don't fight, you know, you're in over your head, and he's sort of seeing the light. He's like, I just want to leave. He goes, I'm just going to head right through that door. Are you okay with that? I'm just going to take
Get
off.
Out of here. Get out of here.
Okay, so right now he's convinced that if on his turn he leaves, you're going to let him go. We'll see how that plays for him. Okay, Craig, it's up to you.
So I overheard all this, but he's behind the plus the wall.
Yeah, you can hear some conversation going on. Assume again that the party knows each other, so you know the Eladrin can do a face step, so you figure that's probably what happened because she just disappeared. But
instead of keep fighting, then they're gonna.
Well, from what you've heard, he wasn't saying, if, you know, stop fighting and we'll save your friends' lives. He basically saying, if you stop fighting me, I'll stop fighting you and I'll let you leave.
Right, well, this guy's still kind of attacking me. He's still attacking me, so I'm going to go ahead and fight. It's my blessing of law. Only 9 versus
6. 9 is not going to be enough. Okay. Did you want to move, or are you good where you are?
I
okay. Al.
Okay. Did you say number? The number?
Neither of those guys have been hit yet.
Neither. All right. Yeah, so
3 and 6 are both fresh.
I'll whack number 3 then.
My master plan is failing.
At all, miss horribly.
Wow, we're all having bad dice this round. Did you want to move?
No, I'm fine now.
Barry, it's up to you.
Okay, I use Oath of Enmity.
Yeah, which guy?
This guy.
Mark with the purple?
No!
Flank him.
Okay.
Flank him?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can move into flank, no problem.
And I will use...
Overwhelming strike again?
Overwhelming strike again.
Roll it up. Roll the d20s. Okay.
8
is probably not going to be enough. 10 might be. What's the total?
17.
17, right on the money.
Okay. 1d10 plus 4. 6 plus 4, 10 points.
Is that number 3?
Yeah.
Okay. He doesn't like that too much. Okay, the brawlers. This guy is going to run for the door. You can take an opportunity attack against him, but you told him you weren't going to.
Actually, I'm...
Are you lying? Are you going to do it?
I'm going to do exactly the opposite. No, it's like... He had his choice as he goes by.
Okay. He whispers a quiet thank you, and he, like, takes off. Good job. Okay. That guy over there attacks Craig. 6 and 6, 12 versus AC.
Miss.
Okay. Number 6. Both of those guys are in your aura, right? So they both have to attack you?
Well, if they don't, if they shift or do anything, I get an opportunity.
Okay. So then I was going to say, the one who's Barry just hit would attack him, but he's in your aura, so you're going to take both attacks. Okay. So... Number 6 will go first.
Yep.
You got a 18 versus AC.
Missed.
The other guy?
20.
23.
That'll hit.
Okay. 12 damage. He pushes you in the square. Okay, Rainus, back to you.
Hit number 3. Hit number 3 or help Craig. Hit number 3 or hit
help. Yeah, number 3 and number 5 have exactly the same amount of damage. Neither guy's bloody.
It's so difficult to fight with.
They're full of beer. They got liquid courage in them.
Okay, 5, I'll come over here. Is he or is he not flanked?
No, you have to be directly across. He intentionally went in the corner so you could not flank him.
Point.
And you can see now that there's 2 of you on him, he is scared. He's got that chair and he's shaking and he's like, get back, get back! Meanwhile, you come running at him with a mace.
Work your magic here. Your honey warriors.
Okay, I'm going to do the diplomacy again.
You are positive that on anything less than a 20, that diplomacy won't work until he's bloody. Plus, there's 2 of you ganging up on him. It's going to be a really tough check even when he is bloody.
Okay, can I try to intimidate?
Same thing. If he's not bloody, it's not going to work on anything less than a 20.
Hey, he didn't regenerate.
Okay,
okay. Greg, I assume you're going to unwail on him as well?
There you go, there's a hit.
I'm going to go for Lesser Aspect Rats.
Is that your daily?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Craig, how much do you do?
23.
Yep, 17's your number. 23 will be more than enough.
Sorry. 10 points of damage, and any enemy, I gain 10 temporary hit points.
Okay.
How much money is that? I get a plus 1 power bonus to attack rolls, and any enemy that ends its turn adjacent to me takes 2 immediate damage.
Okay, if he ends his turn next to you. Okay. Okay, so you do that on him, and then you unload on him. What did you use?
No, the shielding strike and cracked him for 11 damage.
Ouch. Okay, he is very bloody.
You get plus 1 to all defense part of the enemy next turn.
Nice. Okay, Al. You got number 6 next to you.
Shift again.
Okay.
And then whack number 3.
Okay.
Baby.
Bad dice. Change them out. Okay, Barry.
Okay, I'm going to shift 1 back.
Okay.
Actually, you know what I just mentioned?
Now, with your ranged attacks, you only get to roll a single dice.
Why are you doing that? Why are you shifting
now
back?
Now he wants to use the power. It's a range power.
Oh.
Okay, well, I gain 4 temporary hit points. Yeah.
Okay. Roll it up. Let's see if you hit him. Oh, 19. Yeah. And then some. 19.
That's 7 or 28.
Oh,
plus 4. 1d8.
So you absolutely hit him, no problem.
4 plus 4, 8 points of damage, and I get 4 points of damage.
Okay, that bloodies him. Okay, we got the brawlers. Number 3. No. Number 5, sorry, in the corner. He is like next to death. And he saw his buddy go running out the door and he heard that you let him. So he's like he's crying. You see he's literally peeing his pants. Oh, I just want to go home. Let me leave. So he wants to run. And he's at this guy in the corner. And so he's asking both of you guys, "Just let me leave." Do you give him the yes?
If no, I say no. Torn does not allow injustice to go unpunished.
I step back and fellow, get out of here.
So the Reyes is like, take off. And you're like, no. And he's like, he's very, very scared, but he goes anyway. So he starts to leave. Do you hit him? Okay. Okay, so you give a swing, but he's already started to run for the door, and he manages to get all these barrels out of the door, and that's good because he only had one hit point left. So if he was stuck there, your aura would have got him. Okay. Who do we got out here? Okay, number 6. 20 versus AC. Oh, he's flanking. 22. Okay. Finally. 9 points of damage.
Okay.
Pushes you one square.
The other one can hit at the same time, right?
No, the other one's going to move.
Oh.
But he couldn't move while he was in the aura. Okay. That guy attacks Barry. It's like, he's been in your aura. He hasn't been able to retaliate. And he misses by a mile.
Okay.
He tried. Okay, Rainus.
Okay, I will run as fast as I can.
What are you trying to do?
Does he only swipe me one?
Yes.
So I'd be here.
Sorry, I was hearing his hands noise. No, he pushed you the one diagonally back.
No, but we were diagonally this way. I was here.
Yeah. And he pushed you there.
Oh, he pushed me there.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
As long as it squares farther away.
Can I do the clumsy from here?
Yeah. Who are you? 2, 3, 4, 5. You get right up to it.
Oh, okay.
6.
I got it. Okay. And I'll do the diplomacy. 6.
Okay. Okay, so what do you tell them?
There are only two. There's only one more of your buddies left. Everybody else.
One guy's unconscious on the floor, and the other two guys left.
Yeah, so you might want to consider hightailing it before some of the others kind of get really angry. So.
Okay, so you see him looking at that door, and he's like, okay, I'm going to head right out that door. Unfortunately, everybody else gets to go first, so we'll see how things play out. Craig.
Wait, I'm going to go up here.
Yeah.
What I'm going to do now is I'm going to use my eight maneuver ability. So I'm going to move you, which allows you to move into flanking position with him.
Yeah.
Now we'll get plus 3, because it gives him plus 1 on top of normal flank.
Okay.
To attack. And then, but that's the standard action. But I'm going to use an action point, and it's someone just told me. My next turn.
Okay.
Use my shielding strike on him.
That might just do it.
17.
17 is exactly what you needed.
7 damage, but you get plus 1 damage.
Okay. It's the first damage that guy's taken all combat. Okay.
Al.
And that was your action point you used?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So I got a whole bunch of pluses. So 11 points damage.
That brings him right to bloody.
Alright, I guess as my move action, I'll just tell him I don't think you want to be sticking around.
Okay.
That's an intimidate.
Give me an intimidate check.
Plus 5. 7.
He's pretty confident. Like, he's gone this long, and like, this is the first time you guys managed to connect, and he's at this point thinking you got lucky.
Alright.
So it's clear that he's going to tough it out a little longer. Okay, Barry. So it's your call. You know, you obviously watched what just happened, and that guy is clearly going to make a beeline for the door. What? You have the option to swing at him with your greatsword if you want.
No, I'm gonna like use Radiant Vengeance on this guy.
Okay.
Yeah, let him get a bit more damage before I can get him to
Vengeance. No, he might get
knuckles.
Four.
Line of sight.
Plus 4, 8 points of damage.
Okay.
24. Nice.
Okay.
Does this guy
does not make any effort to get in Barry's way. He moves. He clearly like steps aside so that he gets a clear look at him. No problem. Then number.
And I get 4 points of hit.
Excuse me. This guy makes a beeline for the door. You guys can attack him if you want. You said you were not going to. Okay, so he takes off. He's gone. That guy makes no effort to leave.
Yeah, that guy leaves.
Thank you. That guy's in the aura, so he attacks Al. 19 on the die. That'll hit. 25 or
something. Definitely hits.
Okay. Are you bloody?
Yes, I am.
He has a d10 plus 3.
Yeah, you could drop me.
10!
You
13
drop me.
Points.
Oh.
He then...
Two clerics in the party, not one heal.
He then heads for the door, drawing an opportunity attack from the...
Yeah, that's why there's a red and blue
He charges for the door. You get to take an opportunity attack on him as he tries to leave. Not gonna hit. Okay, he manages to escape.
Do I get an opportunity attack?
No, it's from this guy over here. He manages to get out. Okay, so.
But he's in my line of sight.
No, he has to run through a square right next to you. Okay. So, those guys managed to take off, and what do you know? At the exact same time, General Sabine and her two men managed to subdue the last of the guys they were fighting with. The guards have a guy in the headlock, and it's very, very exciting. It's like a hush falls over the crowd at exactly the same moment. Everyone's just, you hear the deep breathing, the panting of everyone is trying to catch their breath. The only guys that are left in the bar that were combatants are unconscious. Well, there's the one you guys knocked unconscious. There's two or three they knocked unconscious. Everybody else has just taken off. Excuse me. And let's see what happens next. So Sabine thanks you guys for your help. She gives the brawlers who are there, like they're sort of, they're coming around after a minute or two, and she like berates them. How dare you attack me so broadly, so boldly, and so openly. She's like, I represent the law of the city. I am, I'm here with the Lord. Never remember, you know what you've done is a violation of the level code. And, yeah, so she just gives them an earful, and like again, they're young kids, so they like start crying. Please don't, we'll be good. Yeah, she berates them, and then she's like, get out of here. Like they're all hurt, right? They're taking damage. Like they got black eyes and bloody cuts and stuff. And she's like, get out of here. You're not welcome here. Get the road, and they take off. Now, you guys can try and intercede if you want to try. If you are like, no, we have to bring them to justice. But like, she's basically a de facto magistrate, right? So
I would initially say that, but because we're dealing with them and they're also sort of a question mark to me, I'm just gonna let that play and not touch it. That was more of a personal thing, dude.
Yeah. They didn't have any money on them. Except it says, like,
are you guys gonna heal Al?
Yeah, he's unconscious. So the combat ends. You guys can take your 5 minute rest.
Drag me to the Lord. Never remember. Like,
I would like to point out, I was all over my healing words.
Yeah. So the Herrig, the innkeeper, he comes out afterwards, and of course he's very grateful to General Sabine. Like, again, she's the military presence of the Lord, so he shows her tremendous respect. Thank you. It's unfortunate that this had to happen while you were here. I hope that this doesn't, sully your experience about my fine establishment. Complimentary drinks for you and your men if you want to come back after your shift is over. Always welcome here. Thank you so much. And she's like, it's my job. you know, she's trying to be polite, but she's like, yes, yes, I get it. So Sabine is like, okay, let's go. And so you guys collect yourselves, you patch your wounds, you revive Al. Herrick, on the way out, he's like, says to you guys, I appreciate what you did. You managed to, you stopped this before it got out of hand. But this has clearly, those people that took off will now assume that you are with the Lord Protector, and having that kind of affiliation while you're here is just going to create problems. So in the short term, I would appreciate it if you guys don't come back. We'll see you later, General Sabine. You guys? Yeah. So, you get your 5-minute rest, and then you follow Sabine out, and those guys have long gone. And there's a few people on the street who are like they know, they heard what was happening, and they're like, yes, good job. Not like the cheers you got last time, but just, silent nods of approval and a few
people. Are these golf claps?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it's like the very good putt. Yeah. So Sabine ferries the heroes by boat across the harbor to meet with the Lord Protector at the Hall of Justice. In the Hall of Justice. Superman and Batman are not there this time. She is tight-lipped on the specifics of Lord Nevermember's summons. However, the battle has shaken her usual taciturn reserve, and she lets out that Nevermember wants to hire you to investigate the lost heir and to find out more about it. So she does divulge that little piece of information. Next week, we pick it up where you arrive, and you have this audience. Excuse me. Next week starts off with you have an audience with Lord Nevermember, and he presents his offer, and then you guys can decide how you want to play it out from there. So this was worth 150 experience. And there is unfortunately no treasure.
I have 500 XP.
But next week, you guys stand to make a lot of cash depending on what you decide to do about the Lord's offer. I mean, he's got deep pockets, so if you're looking to upgrade equipment, next week's encounter is not to be missed.